Hey everybody, Pete Werner here at Disney's Grand Californian Resort and Spa in Southern California, the Disneyland Resort, to do our latest Best and Worst, but this time it's going to be of Disneyland. I'm joined by our West Coast producer, Tyler Crouch.
Hey everyone, how you doing?
Our new Disneyland editor, Katrina Manzoni.
Hi there.
And our contributing editor for the Walt Disney World side, Mr. Steve Porter.
Hello.
And we thought we'd do something a little different since we're out here in Disneyland. And this episode, we are going to talk about the seven things Disneyland does better than Walt Disney World.
Yeah.
And it was not hard to come up with this list. So let's get right into it. First on the list for me, absolutely, are the cast members out here. The cast members in Disneyland are just... I'm not going to say we haven't run into one or two off cast members, but the level of service in the parks, in the resorts, at Downtown Disney has been nothing short of phenomenal, and it always is. And I've always said it's because you rely a lot less on the college program than we do.
Right.
That's true.
So you've got more full time cast members, plus, you know, a lot of these cast members. It's such a different atmosphere here in Southern California. This was the original park. It's been a part of the culture here since 1955. The locals have a real sense of ownership in this park, unlike in Walt Disney World. And so it's kind of, I think, you know, working here, it's their park.
There's a lot of legacy cast members, too. Like, there's so many people that have just been here for, like, 60 years even, you know, 50 years. Like, it's... I think the last one, though, the guy that was just staying here, what was it? He was here for 62 years. Oscar just left recently.
Right.
So, I mean, they're here forever.
I also think in Orlando, between all four theme parks at World, SeaWorld, the two Universal parks, you know, all the, it's like the theme park capital of the world in Orlando. And so there is so much of the talent is spread out. Here, yes, there's Knott's and there is Universal. But I feel like if you're a Disney person and you want to work for a Disney park, four parks and all the hotels that Walt Disney World has, it really spreads out that talent, I think, a little bit more than Atlanta. It's really the cream of the crop they can hire here.
Yeah.
And so that helps, too.
Yeah. Great. Second thing on our list was the quick service restaurants. The quick service food here, when I say it's better than Walt Disney World... That's underselling it. It is just on a whole nother. It's just on a whole nother plane. And you know, we were over at the Galactic Grill in Disneyland Park a couple days ago, and Steve got a cheeseburger, and he just like with this sense of utter frustration was like, "Why can't Disney World make a cheeseburger?"
Yeah.
So really, you know, Galactic Grill here would be the equivalent of.
Cosmic Rays
and Tomorrowland and Magic Kingdom.
There's no competition.
There's just no competition.
The best thing that Cosmic Rays has going forward is Sunny Eclipse, I think. So.
Yeah, that's it. That's how they have a food department. So, you know, I don't understand. And this is, you know, we were over the Flo's V8 Cafe in Cars Land, a California Adventure. That roast beef and cheddar sandwich, it's incredible. The food is amazing.
Yeah.
The food's amazing.
It's frustrating, like you were saying. You walk into these places that have clear counterparts on both coasts, and it's just like, how can you not do this? How like, I understand they're both mass-produced. I understand Disneyland is probably producing less per day. I know Cosmic Rays is the busiest quick-service location, I think, in North America. But it's to me, there's still just no excuse.
Yeah, there isn't.
And the other thing, real quick, is that Disneyland does a lot of like limited time menus. So it'll be like, oh, during Halloween now they have a Dia de los Muertos menu over here, and now during Christmas they have a menu that celebrates, you know, that they have tamales over here. And normally they do Mediterranean food, so they'll change the entire menu just for a short amount of time, and it makes it exciting. So
yeah. It does. Yeah, it does. Moving over to attractions, there were some attractions that definitely we feel are better out here. First and foremost, of course, would be Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, love it. Pirates is an entirely different one. There, you know, we have, I mean, the elements that are in ours are also here, but they have so much more. There's a whole, the whole beginning of the ride, the whole first 2-3 minutes of the ride are just completely different. It's mm-hmm. something we don't have.
I think much of that comes from the fact that our Pirates was an afterthought. It was not originally supposed to be in our Magic Kingdom at all. It was only because when it wasn't built, guests were saying, well, where's Pirates? Where's Pirates? There was supposed to be a Western River Expedition, which is kind of the precursor to Thunder Mountain. But it was supposed to be animatronic cowboys and Native Americans, and that project got shut down, and Mark Davis was then put on to, hey, you just need to create another Pirates. And I think because of that, it went from being, you know, he's creating that from his heart when he created it here, and when he created it in World, I think he almost, not to say that he created it out of spite, but I'm sure it was, he created this whole brilliant project with the Western River Expedition, and then it was like, oh, well, I guess I just have to pull out the blueprints from the other one and I'll cut some things out so that, because clearly they want
to make
a low,
it work.
Yeah, because clearly they want a low budget because they don't want to do my project. So whatever, I'll just make this. And that makes our Pirate sound bad. It's still a great attraction and World, but it's just not, there's no comparison with the land.
That's true.
I would say the one thing that you guys have going for it is, which is kind of, whatever, is the smells. You guys got the smells. We don't have smells. And the new costumes, he has, Barbossa has, like, the Commodore outfit, you know, but
those
other than
are
that,
minor details.
Minor details.
Don't impact the difference.
No. I 100% agree that the Disneyland one blows it out of the water.
I do love it. It's longer. Like, our Disneyland,
our
Pirates is way longer
There's
than the one in Florida.
Two or three drops here, right?
Two drops.
Right in the beginning. And then if you want to count the one at the end, like the very end, it's like a very little one. It's a little baby drop.
Now, Katrina, what do you think, attraction-wise, what do you think Disneyland does better over Walt Disney? We just talked about Pirates, but...
Oh my gosh. Space Mountain is a lot better. I like how the Space Mountain does. Well, they had Hyperspace Mountain,
and
then they can switch it over for Halloween.
What was
Star Wars. So they did a Star Wars one where you go and you fight. What were you fighting? I don't even remember. I was like,
you were
lost.
Just trying to blow up
a Star Destroyer. So they have the music going, and it was just like, and I love
doing,
John
they're
Williams.
They're doing these projections throughout the
lasers. Yeah, lasers soaring past
and
your
you're just
head.
Like, whew, whew.
You have the music in your head.
It's like you're actually really up there fighting. So that I thought that was really neat. And then they have the Halloween version.
Ghost Galaxy.
I'm not a fan of Ghost Galaxy because it's just too bright in there for me. But I think I like how they switch it over a lot in Disneyland.
Yeah, so.
It's also that it's much smoother of a track.
That's true.
I agree with that.
Yeah,
it's
I like our Space
track.
Mountain, but it's not as bad as how much the Matterhorn shakes you up in Disneyland, but it does. I can get off Space Mountain in our Tomorrowland and be like, ooh, my back hurts. Where here, it kind of just glides, and it's so much nicer.
And yours is just like one seat, right? And then,
yeah,
and
it's
then
a single
ours
row.
Is two seats.
I prefer the two seats next to each other. So,
the other thing that I appreciate out here, especially after watching the new version of it, which we can talk about what we disagree on with this, but one thing Disneyland definitely does better than Walt Disney World is Fantasmic.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Our Fantasmic is terrible. It's terrible.
Well, I will say, if you've never seen Disneyland's, and you
good.
Go to...
Yes. Yeah. But once you see Disneyland's Fantasmic,
it ruins
like,
you.
It ruins you. It's done as opposed to like the big amphitheater that we do it in. Here they do it on the Rivers of America. And it's a whole different experience. Now, they made some changes to it recently that Disneyland fans were not happy with. There was one scene where the pirate ship comes by, and it was Peter Pan and Captain Hook in a sword fight, and they've replaced that now with Pirates of the Caribbean, which, I gotta be honest, I thought was absolutely amazing. Tyler, you didn't like it.
I personally think that the majority of Fantasmic is improved, but the Pirates of the Caribbean segment for me is I don't like what's happening as much. The story to me is not as interesting. The blocking isn't as good, so it's harder to tell what's actually happening. And it goes even down to the costuming. When you see this big, bright green guy, you're like, that's Peter Pan. And you see a big, bright red guy, you're like, that is Captain Hook. There's no question in my mind what's happening right there. But
I miss Peter Pan.
Yeah.
I agree. But I found that piece with the... I found it mesmerizing. The way the ship was designed and just the whole thing. Steve's wife, Michaela Zabiwillis, and, you know, her and I both said, like, it was like my jaw dropped. I thought it was phenomenal.
Did they change the female role, the costuming? Because I remember, like, when we first watched it, it was like Bo Peep just, like, pouncing up and down with, like, a pink dress on. And I was like, what are you doing? Like,
it's worth noting that they've gotten so much negative feedback on the first iteration of the pirate scene that they have redone it now.
I hadn't seen the
first
version.
I'll have to rewatch it, though.
And she used to be the woman on the boat who I think is nameless. I don't even know if she has a character name, but she used to be screaming for help and just yelling the entire time and cackling. And she was actually not only a damsel in distress, but she was actually very annoying. They've empowered her more. They've changed her role. They've made her more of a counterpart. Like, she's more like...
She's sidekick,
but it's kind of, you know, it's like how everybody
is.
It's like how everybody is with Jack, where it's like, we're friends, but we're not friends, you know? Like, that's how I feel. but again, I think overall the show is great. I like most of the improvements, the projections they do, some of the lighting, and if you think about it, they have very little to work with in terms of the water and everything, and they do such a great job, and it's just so much more quaint than... Walt Disney World, I think that's what does it.
Yeah. I think that quaintness is what makes it so great, is because you're almost on top of that show, where the amphitheater is, you know, those chairs
are
much...
Very removed.
Yeah, you're very removed, and it, you know, when you're waiting for the show, that's actually kind of a nice thing, because you're on a comfortable bench rather than sitting the floor. You kind of are just told to sit on the floor, which is a little uncomfortable, but that ends up being a good thing, because you're really just right on top of that show.
Yeah.
All right. Well, sixth on our list was another attraction, and that's Small World. What, Steve, why do you think Small World here is better?
I mean, it's there's the history behind it, for one. This is...
This is the one that was at the 1964 World's
Yes,
Fair.
This is the Small World that was at... Yes.
If you haven't heard the story, because I tell it all the time, I was actually on that attraction. I was in utero, but my mother was pregnant with me at the 1964 World's Fair riding Small World. So whenever I'm in the park with my mom, we always have to ride Small World.
And so, that legacy and history that, you know, this is Mary Blair's project... ours is kind of just a carbon copy with some... There are some big changes that, you know, really just don't... It kind of loses its heart a little bit to me. It's still a great... Again, it's still a great attraction, Walt Disney World, but it does lose a little bit of that heart that it's just not the original.
But I also love the fact that they do a holiday overlay for Christmas. Mm-hmm. That it was absolutely amazing. We're here recording this in mid-January, and... they still had it up.
Just the grandness of how beautiful outside is at night when it's all lit up
for
Christmas.
Incredible.
It just, I love it. I love the holidays. Yeah.
Speaking of that too, I mean, the whole facade is just better.
It's
than
so
Disney
much
World.
Nicer
I mean,
on the outside.
You know, yeah, you're
such
talking
a
about an
picture.
Interior. Yeah, exactly. You're talking about an interior kind of. Again, it feels like they had to kind of fit it in. They were like, oh, we have a checklist of things that need to go in Fantasyland for Disney World, and this is where we're going to put, Small World, but. It is a big, grand facade that is... It represents, you know, countries from all around the world, and it's actually, again, during Christmas,
clock,
like you said.
When the times, like, when, like, the... Every 15 minutes, you know? Like, it's, like, just, like, another show, and it's just so beautiful, and you just walk up and just see it. And then I think in Florida, I sometimes forget that it's there. I, like, walk by, and I look at Peter Pan, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, look, it's Peter Pan. And then I kind of forget that it's, like, over there, because it's, like, hidden.
Yeah. Part of that, I think, is because it rains so much in Florida that they wanted to create a queue that would be covered.
You're right.
But
you also really can't have a boat ride like that in open air in Florida, because we are the ground strike capital of the world, and we are constantly getting thunderstorms. They would have to shut that ride down.
Oh, yeah.
every time there was a thunderstorm system within 20 miles, which means between April and October, the ride would be open for about 20 minutes.
Yikes.
But the fact that they do have that outdoor piece here just adds charm to it. It's just, I do find it a better attraction. But seventh on our list is something they recently started doing out here. Now, they still use legacy FastPass.
Paper FastPasses,
like we used to have. But they just added something new called MaxPass. And that is, for $10 a day, you can book FastPasses from the Disneyland app on your smartphone. And there's no 60-day, booking it 60 days out or anything like that. It's all same day. It's the same for everybody. And we were able to get all the major attractions for $10 a person.
Yeah.
It was absolutely worth it. And there's no limit to the number you can get. As soon as one expires, you can get the next one.
Yeah, you just can't redo the same ride.
You can't get the same ride.
Yeah.
It was so easy to use. It was ridiculous.
The really nice thing about it, too, is that you can sometimes, a lot of times, you can find a time that's like 10 minutes, 20 minutes away from what time it is right now.
We just did Toy Story Mania. We were able to get a fast pass within 10 minutes. The line was 50 minutes long in standby. We were able to get a fast pass within 10 minutes of when we were booking it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the ride went down, and then the fast pass becomes available for anything. And so we walked on Radiator Springs Racers, which had a 100-minute wait at the time. Worked seamlessly, and it was none of this stressful, I've got to time out when I book my fast passes 2 months ahead of time. None of that. Now, I realize it's a little different for them out here than it is for us. But especially in a world where now they're charging, if you're staying concierge, you can spend $50 a day to get 3 extra fast passes. For $10 a day, you get all the fast passes you want in the course of a day, basically.
Yeah. You just have to be smart about it. You just have to, know what, just to get the soonest fast pass, because then you can just totally, I feel like if you just get this, the quick ones, you just get a fast pass, quickly go on another ride that has a low time, use that fast pass, quickly get another one, and then you just keep doing it that way, I feel like you can utilize that max pass.
I also think that max pass is great for people that have never been on a Disney vacation before. It's so much easier to plan a Disneyland vacation because of max pass than it is to have all the concerns that you're going to have with My Disney Experience, because not that it's rocket science, but My Disney Experience does take a little bit more of an understanding and trial and error.
It's also down a lot. We haven't had that experience with the app failing or, any errors coming up. We've been using it for a week now, every single day for a week. And it's just worked, and it worked perfectly every time. No trouble.
Yeah.
So, the extraordinarily loud family is coming down.
Yeah.
We're actually up on the 6th floor, right outside the concierge lounge of the resort. So, if you're here and you're in the Grand California, so you can hear the piano player down in the lobby, it's really kind of cute. It's cool.
Beautiful. Yeah, it's really nice.
There's no inside voice for this. So that's it. That's our list of the 7 things. We could probably
Give you one honorable mention, though?
Sure.
Big Thunder Mountain, I think, is something that
I haven't done it out here, so
okay.
But
I think there's projections in the there's the lift hill where there's projections going on around you, explosions popping off. You're like, whoa, so it's really cool. And also the track was done fairly recently. So
it's nice,
anyway.
It's nice.
I wanted to give
so
it
that's
a
eight
mention.
Then. So
sorry, yeah.
Those
there you go.
Things.
There you go.
Like I said, we could keep going and going.
Yeah.
That we feel Disneyland does better than Walt Disney World. And this episode will actually mark the introduction of Tyler and Katrina doing the best and worst of Disneyland shows moving forward. So you can expect to see those shows coming out on a weekly basis. And every so often, Steve, Rhino, Greg, or I might pop up in one of them, so
sounds
I
good.
Love it.
Yeah,
there you have it. That's our 8 things Disneyland does better than Walt Disney World. That'll do it for this episode, and we'll see you again next time. Nice feelings.